blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient and nityacha. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita pirdaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day, oh, happy blessed place, oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi salaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. So what shall we look at this morning? June.
I've been listening to some group recordings where I have spoken, and I speak very softly and indistinctly. The best I can do is talk louder. So I've got a lot going on. I'm watching the karmic stream into which I emerged. I think that's how things work. It seems that way. Just really wrap up around the health issue. That is probably nothing. Statistically, it's nothing, really. But my mother spent the last 8 years of her life a total invalid because she fell in that tiny percentage. And so there's that, you know.
So there's just a lot going on, and there's some karma that seems within itself around health, and that there's this health issue that there's that your mom actually it's a health issue that your mom had.
It's not the same thing. It's a completely different thing. It's just that as statistics go, she went in the tiny percentage.
So there's a health issue that that you have that statistically there's a very small chance of it being anything. And your mom had a health issue that also there was a very small chance of statistically being anything, and she fell into that small percentage.
Yes. And so a huge, I've talked about this 400,000 times, a huge aspect of the karma that I deal with is avoiding discomfort. And I suspect that's true to a greater or lesser degree for everybody. And it's the discomfort I can't. It's unavoidable. You know, it's right here.
So the discomfort in this situation is unavoidable. It's right in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I don't like it, yeah.
And just talking about it helps. And helps me see the truth of when we've suffered enough, we will take a different path. And so I spend lots of time distracted, withdrawn, avoiding. And when it gets uncomfortable enough, usually when I try to go to sleep, I will reach for the recorder. I will reach for the Dhammapada. I will do. And it's always, and it just always is the antidote. The refuge.
Yeah, so we just seen how, you know, there's that current pattern to avoid discomfort, and you'll distract and do everything, just everything, but to avoid the discomfort of just facing this. And yet, you find that when you're talking about it in group, it assists. It's facing it. Just talking about it, and instead of being in that distraction mode, and it's been borne out that, you know, recording and listening, you know, just reaching for the Dhammapada, those things just turn it around for you.
And as you're reflecting, what I'm seeing is that's let's see how to say it. The whole game of distraction and avoiding is such an illusion, such a delusion. If it is really fairly easily dissolved by listening to recordings,
right?
How real was it?
How?
I mean, that's a very powerful tool, yes.
Just seeing that powerful tool of, you know, reaching for the recorder and having it dissolve that discomfort that would want to go under the radar and just, you know, cause lots of distraction, and which doesn't address it. And then you see this tool of, you know, picking up the recorder, and voila, there it is addressed.
So this thing here, love for me, it's just, as I'm sitting here now, it's really obvious, which is love and which is egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hate. And you think, well, there's that thing again. I was going to say after all these years, blah, blah, blah. But it's true. Still really gets me, especially with some content that I have never dealt with specifically. Comes up. It's here.
Yeah, so good to see that in this year of love, it's really clear the path of love and what that choice is. And, you know, we get to choose it over and over and over again, because we all get got over and over and over again.
That reminded me of that last bit. Reminded me of an experience I had the other night that was so lovely, where sort of the end of the day, and I still had a number of things that I was going to be attending to. And I was back in my hermitage, and at some point I needed to take a shower, just covered in dust and dirt and all that. And I just, it dropped in, do that first. And there was such resistance to it. No. You know, I got to do this and take care of that. But sort of this, that place of, at least for me, that where things get put in a certain order, like the thing, the worst thing, quote, worst thing first, and then, you know, get all of that. And so it dropped in to start with the shower. And as I did that, I literally heard this voice say, "She loves me."
Wow.
As I got into the shower. Wow. And just that sense of, you know, it's a, well, I was recording about it after, it's a communication to the voice that it's not in charge.
Mm-hmm.
But even more than that, it's a communication to the being that the voice isn't in charge.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a way in which proving to the voice that it's not in charge is still in relationship with the voice.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it feels more like, and it's been, there have been a number of them like that, other places, again, where instead of the default sort of quote, admin or the thing that has to be done, doing, like I did it last night actually too, I started with a two-handed recording. Same thing, like, wow, mastery. because it's a communication to the being that she's not at the mercy of the voices.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Just the communication to the being, she's not at the mercy of the voices. And it's an act, it's an action rather than a mental, like we're, you know, you're not in charge, we're going to, you know, just getting engaged with the voice. Instead, there's just taking that action, following the guidance that drops in, and doing some little simple act that somebody really got it, that she's loved, and just, you know, hearing that.
You know what's interesting is that it's just about always my experience that when I do that, when that happens, that everything that needed to be attended to, it's like time expands. Everything that needed to get attended to does, whereas the opposite does not feel true. Like when it's like, okay, first let's do this, and then let's do this, then it feels like, wow, how did it get to be this time and I haven't taken a shower? And now, and I can't, and it feels rushed, the whole thing feels rushed. But when it's reversed, it feels completely spacious. You know, I almost, I get sort of superstitious religious about it, like I'm being rewarded because, you know, which I know is not it, but it feels, it really feels literal, like time expands.
That time expands when...
when I'm not being pushed by the voice, basically.
When I'm not being pushed by the voice, and love gets chosen first. And then everything else that it sounds like, then your experiences, then everything else that needs to be done gets done. But not in that, not in that, not by the voice, not by the pushing.
So, you know, with the email class starting, I was thinking about that with that thing of, gosh, if I'm in, you know, a great deal of discomfort, and then I record and I'm not, how real could it have been? And that place where I was looking at it with the email class, and we're invited to really look at beliefs around death and dying. And one of the big things I saw was, I'm going to die. Okay, so anyway, let's see. You know, like, let's get all these things put away, and let's get a place for everything, and let's, you know, and how often, at least for me, I don't stop and really, really take that in, like discomfort. Okay, that's something, that's a synapse firing in the brain, you know, or, you know, I'm not going to be here in 50 years, most likely, like dead, you know, not here, whatever that means. And how often I really don't stop and take those things in. You know, and that for me, the karma that follows me around, as I say, is to get bounced to, okay, well, at any rate, let's get this arranged, and let's get that, and let's do that, and let's get that. You know, that's my form of getting out of the discomfort. You know, just get it all kind of just so.
Yeah. So if you hear what you're saying, it's like, you know, just taking it in that, you know, our time here is finite. We're not going to be around 50 years from now, and we have this experience. It's labeled as discomfort, and then the pull is to, like, you know, to always just be in something that's distracting.
The reality of it.
Totally. And instead of just being with whatever's happening.
Right. Because I think, thank you for that reflection, because I think the thing, here's what I've been finding, is that in the moments where I really, really look at that, like, I've been communicating with my dad some recently, and he's at an age where regularly people he cares a lot about are dying. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking at that, and looking at the fact that, you know, I mean, if things go the way, whatever, that I'll be facing that with him, mm-hmm. you know? And again, that place of, that's not really going to happen, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Which, of course, it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless something else happens and I don't have to face that. He has to face me going. Mm-hmm. But that, what I'm finding is that even in split seconds of really being still with that, there's a sweetness right in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. There's such a, like, there's such a exquisite tenderness mm-hmm. that I think is what, I suspect is what ego is avoiding in the, anyway, so arrange this and arrange mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. Because the arranging this and arranging that is, I don't really know what that is, I don't want to deal with that, it doesn't reflect me, mm-hmm. it's not about me, you know, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But the really, really looking straight at it feels like an invitation to, this makes it sound like I think that's what dropped in on it, gives us an experience of what survives that.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Which I don't know mm-hmm. if anything survives that or what survives right. that or whatever, right. but almost like, I don't know, it just gives, it feels like it momentarily invites us into an experience outside of basically a belief in a separate self, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, as you described it, it invites us into, it's hard to describe it, describe it as an exquisite sweetness.
Yeah.
And you know, who knows what that what that is, but there's that experience of it, and it sounds like a place that one is drawn to. It's like, yes, that just the contrast between that exquisite sweetness and the you know, trying to get everything put into order and da 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 da, and that exquisite sweetness comes from stopping and facing. Mm-hmm. Just facing head on mm-hmm. what's there to be faced in that moment.
I it happens for me a lot with, especially at night when things are quiet, and just mm-hmm. listening to Sadie breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Just that again, that wow. There, you know, I don't know how many more nights there are going to be of that. and that with that, I feel like it can then be, so the other side of the duality is like, wow, so, I mean, don't do the dishes, because what's the point? I mean, right, we're all going to die. But it feels like there's a place that, in being able to be with that experience, the rest of it, it's almost like, wow, we're here. And we're, you know, we're in form, and to me it becomes very playful in a sense. You know, I think it's Alan Watts who talks about, you know, shoot, go for it, you know.
Go for it.
Live. I mean, as long as we don't lose sight of that it's not real.
Yeah. As long as we don't lose sight of it's not real, and doing the dishes could be facing it head on, you know. It's just, just be completely embracing what is there.
Yeah. Because that really is, right? Like mm-hmm. washing each dish. Mm-hmm. That is the sweetness.
That is the sweetness. Mm-hmm. So sweet. Yeah. I just, you know, what the guide was saying the other day about caring just caring. I mean, you know, this in that instance, it was caring for things because,
yeah,
you know, just to let them know they're loved. And this is just like letting the being know that it's loved by just turning and facing and being still with what is, and you know.
Yeah. What I saw when you said that was, you know, so washing the dish, you know, caring for the dish, wanting it to be cared for, it's sort of like, wow, all of us, like, just at this moment in time, these cushions and these human beings and these walls and these porches that get swept, we're all informed together in this moment.
Yeah, we're all informed together in this moment. That's very sweet. Thank you. Cameron.
That exquisite sweetness, it just brought up when my mother died and I went into feeling grief. That's what it felt like. Grief. I mean, it was, normally I would have thought of it as, you know, feeling a loss of some sort. But what came up for me in that experience was it was just an exquisite love being felt in the loss of that person, you know. So I think that's a beautiful thing because it can feel like a loss, and we can get lost in the loss and forget what that's actually just this really deep love that's being felt.
It sounds like just like what we've been looking at this morning, that there was just that turning and facing the loss and really experiencing the grief and finding that there was a sweetness to it, where the voice would have us believe that grief is something to be avoided, that it, you know, is just something, you know, horrible.
And realizing that I wouldn't be feeling that if there wasn't this love that was there.
There was love.
And so it turned into an experience of love. And something else that was said triggered something for me that I've been noticing, how little acts that we do for ourselves can make such a big difference, because the being is experiencing that love that's being. So one example for me is, I don't remember when I started doing this because I never did it before I did it. Before I get in the shower and get dressed for the day, I kind of look at the calendar and see what I've got to do that day, you know. And then I go and I pick out what I'm going to wear. And I lay it on the bed, which is right outside the bathroom where I take my shower. And there's the top that goes with the pants and the socks that match the shirt and the leg brace thing that helps me. And I just feel so cared for when I get out of the shower and I come and here somebody has put this all out and it's all ready to go and it matches and it goes with what I'm going to do that day. And I just enjoy it so much every day. I just enjoy that. And I didn't have the ability to enjoy doing things for myself for a long time, you know, just kind of like, it didn't register as anything, a caring act, which is on to the next thing, you know.
Right.
But there's, and so because I've learned how nice that feels, I do it in other areas, you know, like I'm ready to go to bed and I notice some dishes in the sink. And I stop and I take the time and wash up the dishes and put them to dry so that when I wake up in the morning, I have these dishes that are just need to be put away. And it's all those sort of little things that don't seem to be important that actually make, I'm experiencing a sense of being loved and cared for and caring for life in general, the way it takes care of me, it loves me.
So just reciprocating and extending love back to life and the way it cares for you and caring for the being and all these, what it would say, or the voice would say, are little acts, but how they're very meaningful to do these acts of caring.
Acts of caring, So it's one of the little kind of ways that you know, paying attention, I can notice how practice is making real difference in the way I relate to this being and I relate to life, and feels like the way life is relating to me, and it's really nice.
And it's really nice to see the difference it's made, and just that caring and the difference practice has made.
Yeah, and to feel it, not just see it, you know. I've seen stuff a long time, but to feel it, to actually experience it, take it in and experience.
Yeah.
A different quality of life is what it is.
Yeah, a different quality of life, and to just really receive it. And to
receive it,
Well, a couple things. Let's see. So I was watching this morning. I could look at all of this, but what I was looking at was the recording and listening refuge part. So I was watching that I was having this thing arise about whatever it was about grief, sort of. And it immediately started coming in without picking up the recorder. It starts to get taken away. And it starts to get taken away with Zen language. Yeah. So it says things like, you know, that's just a belief. Really, I mean, all you have to do is, like, not believe that, and then you won't feel so bad. You know, it's kind of, so I was thinking about how that practice of love can hold it even if it is just a belief. You know, in that way of, it could be ego, could not be, it could, whatever it is. There's a, when I pick up the recorder, I get to say it. You know, at least when I do the two-handed exercise, usually everybody gets to speak. So I would just say things into the recorder, or I did just say things into the recorder, like, gosh, you know, last year was a really hard year, and I'm starting to kind of feel it, like thawing out in a way. And without the recorder, before I picked up the recorder, so, you know, there was the, well, really, you know, that year's over, and, you know. Then it makes the duality, because then the other person says, well, it's not, you know, then there's that conversation that starts to appear. And, you know, very familiar processes that everybody was describing, you know, around, I mean, I think about the things I did last year, you know, all the things I had to get in order. You know, so this person, you know, got to get this done and this, and you know, because what if? And then now there's sort of this, oh, everything's fine. You know, there's just this, you know, how to live with, I mean, I, of course, missed the date on the class, although I did happen to pass the guy on the road yesterday. She said, just send an email. So I look forward to taking the class. But I do know, so I have it all, this is the other thing I look at. I just been watching how ego sabotages the whole thing, because I actually had it on my phone to sign up for the class, got distracted, picked the wrong date, because when I passed around the road, I'm like, well, isn't today the 26th? And then she's like, it's 27th. But I also know there was some resistance to, I don't want to think about that. It's too close. You know, it's too close. But I really do want to, you know, but more strongly there was this willingness to take the class and curiosity about it. But so anyway, for me, what I was thinking as people were talking was, I couldn't quite relate yet with the sweetness. Although, what I could call it would be an exquisite connection with the sensations of life. And so at times it seemed more excruciating, because I actually, most of who I'm identified with is not an emotional feeling kind of person. And so my experience last year was more of, I couldn't do the normal thing around the content. which would be the kind of tidying it up and making sense of it.
So
anyway.
That would be good. So it's been a big year. It's been a lot going on, and you see, well, you're seeing how the language of practice gets used. You know, when there's a feeling or something that's hard to look at, or just some resistance. Look at you hear, you can just forget. I forget exactly.
A belief. That's
it's a belief. It's just a belief. Yeah. And you notice that in picking up the recorder again, that there's just that opportunity to let everybody talk, and it doesn't matter whether it's a belief or what the heck it is. You know, there's just an opportunity to talk about it. And it might be like we were just talking this morning. It's just an opportunity to just face it, rather than getting into that, let's move on. And you can call this a gift, but it's been like this time this year, it's been an experience of you haven't been able to just, control it, or to just, tidy it up, or put it in a way, someplace that there has been the need to use the recorder and to just stop and look at it. And even though you wouldn't say the stopping and looking at it brings exquisite sweetness, like was referred to this morning, what was it you said?
It's interesting as you reflect. I can see the gift in it as you reflect, because there was a... I couldn't compartmentalize so easily, there was a deep, like an exquisite connection with pain, with the, all the stuff that I avoid, or the terror, or the not really having control, and the stories I created about retirement may not, but as you were reflecting, I was thinking of the gift of that, because there was a lot more living in today.
There was a lot more living
with today. Kindness.
Yeah.
And care, like was being described. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so although maybe that didn't bring about the word sweetness, it did bring about not alone, mm-hmm. inside. Mm-hmm. Also outside, of course, but inside, as people were describing, there was definitely this deep awareness of my own adequacy, mm-hmm. and a connection, a trust in that. Uh-huh. And my conditioning is to leave and trust you guys.
So those are deeper.
But it wasn't painful. It wasn't really peaceful or sweet.
Yeah.
It was painful. Maybe I'd love to be able to say it was so sweet, but it wasn't. But it wasn't bad. I mean, I don't know how to describe it.
Well, there was a deepening trust with what is inside, Susan. Susan's adequacy, would you say?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which did provide that relief that happens in recording and listening. The refuge.
Yeah, the refuge.
There was a place of, And so I do... I think that it is so helpful to just acknowledge, because I just see how the system in me is not set up for that, even so much with the Zen language. So with the recording, I don't feel as self-conscious. I gotta say the right Zen thing, and then I'm looking at this, isn't that interesting? What this tells me, I need to be looking in a certain way.
Uh-huh. So there's a little more freedom with the recording to just...
And with one-on-one guidance, too. Uh-huh. But I notice in a group, I get more...
Yeah.
I mean, you guys might not notice it, actually. But I hear it going pretty loud. We shouldn't really talk about this because,
so there's a lot more direction coming in. Than there is when you pick up the recording.
But it's why being reflective is so helpful. Because the truth is, my experience was one of great connection, and that was actually exquisite. Mm-hmm. And that I trust myself more, yeah. and I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And so, probably should listen to that little recording.
Yeah. So you've had really an experience of deeper connection and trusting yourself and knowing that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Both, it sounds like not alone, both with what, you know, you can draw from
mm-hmm.
within and also from
yeah.
what has been available to you from others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Eleanor.
So, this morning I've been looking at talking. What a handy place that it is for my karmic conditioning to grab on and
mm-hmm.
all the different things it does and so there's just being and so talking, you know, it happens, right? And then there's the consciousness that, you know, all of our practices help to talk, reflect, listen, but it helps. But then there's this other place where the conditioning comes in and critiques everything.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
uh-huh. And it kind of slides around. And that critiquing is the biggest problem that I can see.
So there's being and then there's talking. Talking happens. And it's the critiquing that comes in when you're talking. Is that what you're referring to?
It's running back there. I know
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so what came in was that. So if I'm walking out in the woods and just talking to my recordings, there's not the critique of it there.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
I was just looking at that, how when I was a human it changes.
So when you're talking when there's other people present, that changes. Recorder's not happening, but when there's another person involved, then the critiquing
brings up just such a handy way to get me to say something and then come in about it not being the right thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what finally showed up was kind of on that level of appreciation for this being. Because talking is, you know, it's one of those survival mechanisms that I think it's deep karma
mm-hmm.
for some, or for some of us and others. But,
mm-hmm.
And to appreciate that's it is.
To appreciate that. The talking, there's some karma around that the person is.
Or just being with this person.
Just, uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Who's being pressured to just really be the right person.
To be the right person. And now, yeah. And have to be the right person with your words
yeah.
and what you're saying.
Yeah.
And yeah, just the, yeah. And just the appreciation for her
exactly.
for just hanging in there, you know, and watching it.
And then that came in actually during this discussion this morning was when I was looking at the things, the issues around death and dying, which my father's been going through a lot and I've been going through a lot. So I've been looking at this for a while in the last year. And what showed up today was it's the same thing as the talking, it's the pressure to do it right. That I want to have everything done right
uh-huh.
by the time
yeah.
I have a lot to do,
uh-huh.
and then I want to just, you know, die properly, right.
I want to have the right person.
Yeah. Like, really? You really want to think that control? So I just, that pressure is like, oh, here it is again.
Wow.
It's mm-hmm. pretty much the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I just get more recordings and just say, okay, trying to do it right here, okay?
Yeah.
Pressure, feel, you know, and the pressure is just.
Yeah, it just
pretty,
made
pretty. I can just feel it in my neck and my shoulders
exactly.
bother me a lot. So.
Yeah, just, well, I mean, as you talk about, I can feel, you know, just that pressure is intense to do it right, even up into, I'm going to do my death right, you know, and I'm going to have it all planned out. And you know, yeah, to just see. How, yeah, to just see how what we were talking about earlier with June. I mean, you know, and maybe that's not the path of love, you know, to just, you know,
right.
Yeah, to just feel that pressure in the body and know, wait a minute, this is not, yeah.
Yeah. And the list that the condition's trying to make now about, oh, yes, and I'll do this and I'll do that, and it makes me.
Yeah, makes you.
It's in the body.
It's
in the body, I can tell.
You can hold, you feel it held in the body.
So maybe I can work with it back and forth, you know, with both ways. Working with it with taking care of myself, practice, and also taking care of myself physically.
So you can see that, so giving the body, you know, taking care of the body physically and as a, in response to that pressure, you know, to, that you feel reinforced by the voice.
Yeah, and that brings an appreciation.
And that brings an appreciation.
As a way of appreciating.
Yeah, as a way of appreciating the body and giving it another message.
So I was appreciating that conversation and also the sentiment in the conversation prior, which was about it's been hard and I'm not quite at the sweetness and that's fine. And because there can be this pressure to get through the hard to the sweet, and that will then mean that you've worked through it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not at all what that means. It doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's reassuring to remember.
Yeah, it's reassuring to remember that there's nothing to get to. We don't have to work through it and get to that. You know, that could be another skipping over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to just like, okay, now I'm at the exquisite sweetness, and you know, to just be honest.
Yeah, because there's in facilitation we talked before. You know, in the facilitation training that. An interaction ends where it ends, and you don't have to get the person to a place where they're okay, or where they see something or anything, that it is absolutely fine exactly as it is. And it reminds me of what in the guide was saying, and I wish I could remember. I have to ask her to repeat this again, but there's something that she says, something about if there are illusions that aren't ready to be be gone, to be let go, let them stay.
Yeah.
And to me that is such a bold and courageous position to take, to be in, because it flies against a strong karmic tendency to clean up karma.
To
surrender the illusion of agency, that I can somehow do anything about my own illusions, much less anyone else. That in some way they don't just, it's a deep, it's a place to me of deep surrender. Because there is this belief that if I practice really hard enough, that if I just record and listen enough, and if I really diligently go after it, I will knock out those illusions.
And
of course that's not how it works.
It goes back a little bit to what Eleanor was just saying about getting it right.
Exactly.
You know, I could knock another flavor of getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
I could knock this karma out. I could knock your karma out. I can, you know.
We can do this together.
Yeah.
And it's not how it works. Yeah. You know, at least in my experience, it just falls away when it falls away.
Right.
And in the meantime, you know, while, like, I've had some really hard things this last month. And one of which was somebody that I really love having to have emergency surgery. And when I spoke to the person, when I hung up, I wasn't sure I would ever speak to them again. And, you know, and there was, so in the meantime, while we're stuck in that, there just doesn't seem to be any other
better, more helpful way than to just be with it.
Yeah.
You know, be with it in whatever way we can.
Yeah. Yeah. To just, yeah. Because so much of what we've been talking about this morning, mm-hmm. to just be with it, to face it in whatever way we can.
Mm-hmm.
And to not, you know, yeah, as you were saying too, I mean, that facing it could get rolled into that doing it right too, you know, and being the right person in facing it, you know.
Especially for us.
Especially
for us.
We have
all this language and all
yeah.
this, you know, to me yeah. that is especially, you know, obviously I own it for myself. I have tons of religious stuff to draw on.
Mm-hmm.
Karma has
mm-hmm.
tons of religious mm-hmm. language, concepts, prayers, everything that it can use to try to get me to another place
yeah.
instead of just being
mm-hmm.
with, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and to just acknowledge that was, and to hear that was so helpful this morning, and to see my own, the karma that I work with, that is so often the identity that would live out through this person
mm-hmm.
is the one who's going to get us through to
mm-hmm.
X.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just knowing that identity so well and
mm-hmm.
that seeing it for what it is and not wanting, it's funny, it's good. I was going to say, and not wanting, and just reflecting, not wanting to engage in that karma, but if that's what we're doing,
yeah.
You know,
if yeah, no illusion. If it, the illusion's not ready to let go, to not yet.
Yeah.
What is that? That is the no enlightenment before we're ready.
Before it's time.
The sitting still thing
yeah.
too. You know,
yeah.
the same sort of thing. But
yeah,
so even like being willing to be wrong, in quotes,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because all we're doing is we're seeing, and to just muster. I remember I say I have all this religious language, and then it flies out of my head. It was one Advent season, and we use the phrase, use the phrase Emmanuel, God with us. I remember getting fixated on the word with, and it just dropped in I went for
mm-hmm.
years where that was my favorite word in the whole English language was with, because when I would really sit with that word and let it sink
mm-hmm.
in, it seemed to be everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when my favorite haha breaks, or when I get a call and I may lose this person I love, or when nothing goes right, or when I get a diagnosis, or, you know, any of that, it just seems to be, to me, that the best I can muster is, and which is plenty, is with.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That's sort of what I'm... And the rest, I guess, we'll just have to take care of itself.
Yeah.
You know? It's kind of the ride of the wrongness of it all. But that's sort of where I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just being with and, you know, stepping outside of that whole thing of right and wrong. And
mm-hmm.
I just reminded that Rumi poem. There's a field
mm-hmm.
where I'll meet you, where beyond the place of right and wrong. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, just being with.
Mm-hmm.
Just being with, and how that just says it, speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
That says it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Carmen.
That, about getting rid of more karma reminded me of one of my favorite quotes from Zen teacher Joko Beck.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I don't know the exact words, but to the effect of, we don't ever get rid of our karma. We just drag along behind us and it wears out. So I get this image of this like cloth bag with all this clothing that's my identity and all these beliefs and assumptions and stuff, and it's back in that bag, and I'm just walking along, and you know, as I'm walking, holes are falling in it, and clothing's falling out, and this belief, and it's just kind of fun to think that It makes sense, too, because we do, as we go through life and see how these things don't work, they just kind of do.
Yeah.
Drop off. We don't want to do it anymore.
Right. Right.
And so there goes that favorite pair of pants that made me think I was home, you know, or whatever. You know. Really hot. So I just think that's a really fun image to think of it, that we can just go along and do the best we can do and put our intentions and our best attempts into what we're doing, and it's all going to wear off and fall off, and we're going to just keep going.
We don't have to get over our karma. We just have to let it wear away.
Let it wear away. Yeah.
I love it. And it's not like we're saying, what bag? I don't see that bag back there. You know, oh, yeah, that's just my karma. And, you know, that's not my karma, but that's just karma. And, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, not to, you know, so for so long, we're ashamed of it. We don't want to talk about it or acknowledge it, but just to say, yep, that's my karma. I'm working on it. I'm wearing it. It's wearing it out.
Yeah, not to take it personally. To just know it's just karma.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, attached. And it's just wearing away. And we get to, you know, we get to do the walk.
You know, I was just thinking that's one of the best things about Sangha and group. Because until we get in a group of people who are willing to look at it, acknowledge it, talk about it, we think, oh my God, there's something wrong with me. They all look really like they're doing fine. And listen to what's in my head. Oh my God, I must be crazy. And then everybody talks and it's like homecoming. We're all the same. Not we're all the same, but ego is the same.
Ego is the same
thing that we're all up against.
And it's just, it's such a relief when people just say it, and we recognize, we recognize ourselves in that, and recognize the ego and the karma,
And we start saying I, and then we get trained to say, no, that's not you, that's conditioning, and it's like a, oh yeah, that doesn't seem like everything else I think or feel.
So any more?
No, thank you.
Thank you. I have a few more minutes. Jim.
Well, this, of course, this has all been wonderful, listening to Refuge and Sangha. And one of the things that I've seen in the last few minutes, it's how I was being very severely critiqued for getting into such a suffering depressed place before reaching for something, whatever. You know, the antidote, recorder, the spiritual teachings. And so that's just really good to see.
Good to see.
So the question then becomes, WWLD, what we'd love to. a way to make her feel loved is not to let it get, not to get into avoidance. But just not let it get so bad that she's just jumping out of her skin. That's what practice is. It's taking refuge. It's not ignoring. It's not hoping that it doesn't get me this time. It's not, Lord, help me with this more. It's not trying to think my way out of it.
Wow. And you just seeing what would love do is it might be an assistance to her to not let things go so far between before taking refuge.
Yeah.
That's a bit the refuge that's available.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this just kind of, the voice just said to me, that's just another way of avoiding.
Yeah, it's always going to have a critique, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to avoid you at all costs.
At all costs. And I take refuge. Yeah.
Because one of the ways to avoid discomfort that I watch, you know, it's physical, it's emotional, it's mental, and it's spiritual. There is a spiritual discomfort for ego in just everything about the practice, everything. Uh-huh. And yet the karma, the pull to avoid is just enormous.
Yeah.
So it just is.
Just know that there's spiritual discomfort for ego. I mean, I don't know if those go together. There's just discomfort for ego.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything having to do with practice. Yeah.
Anything having to do with taking its power away.
Taking its power away.
It's one.
Yeah. Yeah. So we just know that doesn't mean a thing, and you can still. Go find that place of refuge for her before, yeah, before things get really far. Yeah, thank you. Anybody have a 3 minute?
One thing that I saw was that, you know, I just love the referral to the sitting still because I think what ego says is this, you know, this is not it. This is not enlightenment. Mm-hmm. I need to not be having this experience. Yeah. So, you know, it pushes to have that experience, mm-hmm. you know, which is, okay, if I just can feel sweetness,
yeah.
then
yeah.
forgetting that this is it.
This is it.
This is enlightenment.
This is enlightenment.
This is it. Yeah. Not what ego tells me it's going to look like.
Right.
You know, that's why I like being both Buddhist and Christian, because Jesus dying on a cross is not, I suspect, what he thought was it. Yeah. And so I alone. And so in that way of, in that tradition, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Wow.
And so in that way of this is it, you know, today it's muck, tomorrow it may be sweetness. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, this will say, well, mm-hmm. you just tried to move to sweetness, and so this isn't it. You know, it's just always going to say, this isn't it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go up there and fight with my 12-year-old, and I'm going to say, this is not it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
This saying, this isn't it.
Yeah,
it's the problem.
It's the whole problem.
This is it.
This is it.
This is what WW whatever LB or whatever. What would love do? Be, I don't know what love would do. Be with it. With.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, just as people were talking, I just get duped into thinking this isn't it, and I'm trying to use my spiritual finesse to.
Yeah,
can someone else completely missing the fifth is it?
Really? Yeah. Okay. To have a voice saying that this is neat, as if it knows what enlightenment is.
Right.
And to, you know, to just catch that.
Totally.
And you know, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. This is
everything
it.
Everything we talked about this morning.
Mm-hmm.
This is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we do. This is enlightenment.
This is enlightenment.
So great.
It is.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.